Richardson back, and he's got some good stuff back there for y'all. Of course, if you are here today and your kids are heading back to Children's Church, you can get them back at the end of the service. Go over to the gym and pick them up. If not, Eric will take them home, feed. No, I'm just joking. They'll pay him a little bit more. All right, guys. Well, it's been an incredible week. While the kids were at summer camp, I was over in Louisiana, and I was at Clara Springs Baptist Camp. I want to tell you, someone let me borrow a car, so amen. I got to actually, that was Mac McMinn and Carolyn. I sure do appreciate that. At that camp, I got to preach to about 150 third graders through fifth graders all week. We saw, last I heard, it was 8 kids got saved, and we're still hearing some stuff from that. So God was able to do some neat things, and I appreciate y'all letting me go that direction. We looked at, me and my wife, we were looking at it. Our kids were all out at with the youth, so they were the other direction about 5 hours. I was 4 hours that way, so our family was kind of spread out, but we were loving God. What do y'all think about that camp? How many of y'all want to do that swing in between the rocks? Yeah, I'm kind of saying, yeah, isn't that interesting? So we're gonna do our instead of having our senior Satan luncheon on Thursday, we're just gonna. And we're going to strap them in any, never mind. Is it this week? Is the luncheon this week? Well, okay. Hey, that's something that we need to announce. Every first Thursday of the month, our senior saints, our seasoned saints, have a luncheon on Thursday. It's a potluck. Church provides chicken, and we just have fun in fellowship, playing games. You are invited on Thursday to come hang out with us. It's from 12 to about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and a real neat time. All right, let's get into our sermon for today. We have been in the series At the Movies. That's where we look at popular movies that have come out in the last few years, use those as parables to say what kind of themes, what kind of ideas can we find in the movies that illustrate some of the incredible themes that are in the Bible. So as y'all remember, we did the first week that movie with the little fish, we talked about family. Last week we were talking about kind of our individual gifts, and I'm going to tell you, I've got my notes right here, and I promise you, it says John Glenn in my notes. And last week, I sent Sheriff Glenn Smith up into space probably about 5 or 6 times. So if our sheriff asked why I kept saying he went into outer space, I was trying to say Glenn Smith. So anyway, this one, I did it again. Oh, my goodness. I'm just going to stop. I just love Glenn, I guess. All right, so I was saying John Glenn. I'm back again. This movie we're going to look at today is one that you might not have seen, but our youth and our students have definitely seen it. It's called The Black Panther. Now, I'm going to go ahead, for those who have not seen it, you know, the name, it has some negative connotations. When we hear Black Panther, there's a lot of stuff in the 60s and 70s where some of those groups were bad. This is a superhero movie. It's called The Black Panther. It is the number one movie of 2018. It's beat out the Jurassic Parks, it beat out the Avengers, it's beaten out the Star Wars and the Pixar. The number, if you go on Box Office Mojo, where they keep up with that, the number one movie in America for 2018 right now is The Black Panther. An incredible movie. It was completely directed, produced by African Americans. So, I mean, there's that part of it, which is just really neat to see financially something that's done completely by an African American cast just caught fire worldwide. I think it's up over $700-800 million right now. So a real neat movie. But one of the neatest things in it is, not only is it just a superhero movie, which is great, I love hero movies, I love hearing about heroes, there's something in me that just enjoys that, this is also a kingdom movie. And that's kind of what I want to look at today. I want to look at that thought that goes through the movie of Black Panther, but more than that, that goes through the Bible about what it means to be part of a kingdom. In the movie, the name of the kingdom is Wakanda, Wakanda. It's an African kingdom where they have found this kind of super metal. And as they had developed, they decided instead of letting it out where people would come in and attack them to try to get all this special stuff that they had, that they kind of went into hiding. Their kingdom went into hiding. We'll show that a little bit later. But in the Bible, when we look at kingdom, there's no hiding it. I mean, it's everywhere in the Bible. God is king of heaven and earth. The universe is his kingdom. If we look in the Old Testament, most of the nations that we look at in the Old Testament, whether it's the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Persians, most of those nations were kingdoms in some way. Even if they weren't called kingdom, you know, there might have been a different name. But if you look at it, there's a king, there is a group of people that follow him. It's a king and kingdom. And then, of course, we see that Israel, if we look in the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, it tells us about, you know, the rise of the kingdom of Israel. Now, God wanted it to be kind of a theocracy, where God was the king of the people of Israel. But as the people of Israel looked around and saw all the other kingdoms that had, you know, human kings, they cried out to God and said, "We want a human king," and that kind of messed things up. And then we look in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and we start hearing the story of the kingdom of Israel. Now, you know, if y'all know the biblical history, there's a point where there's a civil war. There's a northern kingdom called Israel. There's a southern kingdom called Judah. So we see kingdom, kingdom, kingdom all through the Old Testament. I don't think that's an accident. I think God said, "I want you to understand completely what it means to be in a kingdom." As we move forward to the New Testament, Jesus talks about kingdom just a lot. I mean, you can't, if you look in to the Sermon on the Mount, the dominant subject of the Sermon on the Mount was the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. The parables talked about kingdom. I looked in the Gospels. Over 70 times, Jesus mentions a kingdom. That's just in the first four books of the Bible. In fact, let's look at Luke. In Luke 17:20, we'll read that one. Luke 17:20 says this. Oh, that's the wrong one. Over. There we go. It says, "Once on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst.'" So here Jesus says, listen, the kingdom of God is here. I've come to start the kingdom of God. Now, for us as Christians, that's a hard thought. You know, what is the kingdom of God? You know, did it start when Jesus was born? Did it start when Jesus was crucified? Did it start when Jesus rose from the dead? And sort of the answer would be all three. You know, as the kingdom of God has moved in, you know, Jesus is saying, "Hey, I want you to know that you're part of a kingdom." Now, we live in a democracy, and sometimes that's hard for us to visualize that. It's hard for us to understand the difference between a democracy and a kingdom. But for some reason, that's how God wanted us to understand what was going on, both spiritually and really at some point physically in this world where we'll be a part of the kingdom of God. So what I want to do today was just look at a couple of the themes from the Black Panther on what kingdom is. We're not going to look at the whole story, but I thought for those of you that haven't seen it, we would start with this trailer I found that they put out in May, kind of right before they released the DVD of it. And this is going to give you an overview, kind of the action, but I want you to see the main theme. Go ahead and hit those lights. And Jerry, play the trailer here. The music's a little bit wild, so you might want to get your earplugs ready.
Wake up to Dad. Wake up.
My son, it is your time to begin.
Who need a hero? Hero. You need a hero. Look in the mirror. There go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero? Hero. Hero.
Black Panther!
My king.
Stop it. Stop it.
I am not ready to be without you.
You decide what kind of king you are going to be.
You're a good man.
With a good heart.
And it's hard for a good man to be a king.
One more word.
And I will feed you to my children.
I'm kidding, we are vegetarians.
Tell me who's gonna see me faster.
The world took everything away from me. But I'm gonna make sure we're even. I'm gonna burn it all.
He's a monster of our own making. I must right these wrongs.
When Black Panther fights for Wakanda, I will be right there.
Wakanda forever!
I am your king now!
What happens now determines what happens to the rest of the world.
To the rest of the world, I think he said there. I couldn't really understand him. I want you to see, in that kind of a synopsis of the movie, what was the main thing that kept coming and coming and coming? Did y'all catch it? That he was a king. You're going to be a king. But at the same time, you saw that the king was a hero. So you had a king and you had a hero. And I want to say that that's the way it is with us today as Christians. In Jesus Christ, we have a king and we have a hero at the same time. In the movie, sometimes, the main character, let me make sure I got his name right, T'Challa. T'Challa, sometimes he had to be the king. He had to rule. He had to make announcements. He had to choose what was happening. But at other times, he had to be the hero. He had to defend and to protect the kingdom. In Jesus, I think a lot of times we're okay with the hero part, aren't we? We like, in fact, when I was a children's pastor, I remember there was a worship song we did that Jesus Christ, my superhero. And it was kind of silly, but in a way, it's how we see Jesus. And it's a perfectly good description of Jesus. He is miraculous. Jesus walked on water. He caused people to raise from the dead. He would multiply food. He would heal people. He had true superpowers. When I go to camps and stuff like that and teach, I get to do my Christian illusions. And I always try to say illusions. And then I make the fact that the only person I know that can do real miracles is Jesus Christ. And so we get excited about Jesus being a hero. We get excited when we read those stories of heroic things that Jesus Christ does. My question for you today, though, is how do you handle Jesus as king? How do you handle Jesus as king? Do you understand that at the same time that Jesus is heroic and we want to lift him up, on the other hand, Jesus is king and you are part of the kingdom, and kings ask they're the people of the kingdom to do things. And it's not a democracy, right? The Bible lays out what our king is asking us to do. But do you ever just stop and think, I am part of a kingdom and Jesus Christ is my king? And am I listening to God's command? Am I listening to what Jesus asked me to do? And am I treating that as a kingdom? I think if we're honest, and at least if I'm honest, most of the time I don't. I kind of treat it like a democracy. Hey, God, how about this? You want me to do something? Okay, I'm going to give you a vote. Okay, tell me what you want me to do. Now, I've got a vote, right? And I'm going to vote. And in case of a tie, we'll go my way. That's kind of how we live life. We want to hear what God has to say. We want to come and study the scriptures. We want to look through the Bible and see. But Jesus says this. He says, I'm the king, and it's not a democracy. We need to approach Jesus as king. Scripturally, we've got the story when Jesus is in front of Pilate, and he's asking if they want Barabbas or if they want Jesus. And he looks at Jesus and said, are you king? And Jesus said, you speak truly. I am king. He doesn't say it. He implies it right there. He says, you speak truly when you call me the king. And we see over and over. You look through Revelations. There are three or four times. You know, it says, King of kings and Lord of lords. But are we treating God like a, Jesus like a king, or are we just treating him like a hero? Another thing about being part of a kingdom is sometimes there's a mark of the kingdom. In the Black Panther, there's an interesting mark of the kingdom. If you could turn the lights out, we're going to look at a clip where one person who was part of the kingdom has kind of gotten away, and they've sent their people to find him, but they want to make sure he's part of the kingdom, and there's a mark that they were looking for.
These two Grace Jones-looking chicks, they own Spears.
Open it.
You serious?
They won't knock again.
Ungabani.
Prince Njobu, son of Azuri.
Zimona Kali Sekum Ukupa Unguye, Lomtu Otin Unguye.
Kumkani.
Leave us.
This is James. I trust him with my life. He stays. With your permission, King T'Chaka.
As you wish. At ease.
Now, it's hard to see in that, but what it was when he pulled down his lip, everyone in that kingdom got a kind of a glow-in-the-dark tattoo. If you'd seen it before, he would bring down his lip, and there would be kind of his name tattooed inside his lip. That's how they would know. You know, when they got there, they said, you know, who are you? And, you know, he did this because there was a mark to being in the kingdom of Wakanda. I want to say today that there's a mark of being in the kingdom of God. It's baptism. You know, sometimes we don't talk about that very much. Jesus was very clear that baptism was so important. Jesus was baptized. His disciples went around baptizing. In fact, the last thing he says in what we call the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And then what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey, there's a kingdom thought, obey everything I have commanded you. So the symbol of being a Christian is this idea of baptism. Now real quick, I just want to go over baptism. Baptism in the Bible is immersion. In fact, the word baptism is basically the word to plunge, to go under the water. Now, I know that in lots of churches, you know, there is sprinkling and christening. And I just want you to hear me say, we believe in biblical baptism here. We think that if the Bible says that you should be immersed in water, that we're going to immerse. That's why we've got the little kind of holy hot tub up there, right? You know, that's where, you know, we would say, hey, let's come into the water, a pool of water that is big enough that we can physically put you under the water. Now, there's lots of reasons for it, but I want to go through first, you know, if you've never been baptized, I want to say this, baptism is not salvation. You can be saved without being baptized. But now we go back to the kingdom thought, right? Is Jesus your king once you get saved? If Jesus is your king once you get saved, then you've got a command of your king. He says, be baptized. Now you have to decide, is he really my king? Or is this a democracy? Because you're going to have this battle, right? You got this battle. I don't want to be up in front of everybody. I don't want to go up there and be immersed. You know, that's a little bit awkward. That's weird. There's nowhere else where we get people wet to show that they're part of it. But for some reason, and we can go through the reasons, it's incredibly symbolic. It's symbolic of, first, the sin that we have on ourselves before we ask Jesus to be our Savior. And Jesus washes away our sin. So in baptism, we see us being covered in our sin and then being baptized. And when we come up, we're clean. It's symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's symbolic in saying Jesus was alive and then he died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and then 3 days later, he arose from the dead. That's why when we baptize, we like to keep people underwater for at least 3 minutes. I'm just joking. There's so much symbolism to baptism. But once again, I want to say, you can be saved without being baptized. I use my wedding ring, as an example of symbolism. I mean, I think it's a good way for us to kind of understand. The wedding ring I have on my hand, I don't wear jewelry. I mean, I just don't. I don't wear a watch. I'm too fidgety. I'll take my watch off and I'll put it back on. If you're talking to me, I would be opening and closing it and I would set it down and I'd pick it back up. And you don't want me to have a watch on. Same way with any other ring. You can ask my wife. You know, I've gotten rings for graduating seminary or for, you know, a certain big occasion and I'll wear them. And then, you know, before long, I just take. But this wedding ring, I've had on for 24 years now. Is that where we're at? 24, it basically, am I getting it? I think it's right, isn't that right? What is it? I'm right, yes! Okay, so I've had this ring on for that long because to me this ring is a symbol of my love and my commitment to Rebecca. Now, if I took it off, does that mean I'm not married anymore? No, it's just a symbol. It's a very powerful symbol. You know, it's not like, you know, now I'm married, now I'm not. No, you know, it's not that. And if I took this ring off, which I can't get it off anymore, so I guess that's another reason I still have it on, if I took this ring off and I walked down and I handed it to Abraham and I said, now put this ring on, now you're married to Rebecca. That doesn't work because the ring isn't the marriage. The marriage is the relationship that the ring symbolizes. And I wear it because it's very important to me to have this symbol of my relationship with Rebecca. Now, in the same way, that's what baptism is. Baptism is a symbol, but it's just a symbol of the relationship. The relationship comes first. You get saved first, and then you're baptized. You know, you might say, Blake, well, in the church I grew up in, we were christened, or we were baptized as an infant. Well, are you saying that that doesn't count? And here's what I'm going to say, is that everywhere in Scripture, you're saved first, and then you're baptized. It's a symbol of what you did. Now, does that mean that you did something wrong or your parents did something wrong? I think it's great. I mean, we have baby dedications where parents stand up and say, I want to publicly say that we're going to want our child to be raised up in God. And so in that, you know, I could see some symbolism, but it's not baptism. If anything, it's just something to say, you know, hey, we're giving our child to let God, you know, watch over our child. But there's nowhere in the Scripture it talks about baptizing infants. There's nowhere in anything we see that where it says get baptized before you're saved. And salvation is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you were christened or baptized as a child, I would say I'm so glad that your parents wanted to move you towards God and put you in a place where you could hear Scriptures and understand. But I say there has to be a time in your life where you have a personal relationship with God. And then there needs to be a baptism following that if you're going to follow what your king says. Here's our third and final thing I kind of want to say about the movie. In the movie Black Panther, if you see it, one of the main thoughts of the whole movie is they live in this hidden kingdom. And they're struggling with this moral dilemma of knowing if they open up to the world, then they could lose everything. People could come in or there could be a war. You know, there's all kinds of things. But if they don't open up to the world, then this incredible gift that they have is going to be hidden forever. Let me show you how they hid their kingdom.
Oh! that's ordered.
Queen Mother, Princess, my comfort for your loss.
Thank you, Nakia. It is so good to have you back with us.
Take her to the River Province to prepare her for the ceremony.
Yes, General.
Did he freeze?
Like an antelope in headlights.
Antelope in headlights. We see here that they've hidden away their kingdom in a mountain. They use their technology to make it look like there's a mountain covering up their kingdom. You have to know where to fly your, you know, spaceship, I guess, into the mountain. And then all of a sudden, you come through the mountain, and wow, you know, there's the great architecture. There's the great technology that they're hiding from the world. Now, I think about our churches sometimes. You know, we don't have, the technology to put a dome, you know, over our Christians' lives. But I wonder sometimes, are these four walls the same thing? You know, here we are on a Sunday morning, and we kind of come in here, and we talk about the Bible, and we talk about, you know, what God can do in our lives, and the incredible change, and the incredible power of God, and we kind of hide it. And we kind of go, you know, as long as we've got it in here, as long as we've got it in here, you know, do we really need to go out any farther? And sometimes we do, right? You know, sometimes we go out and do a little bit here, and then we run back in here. You know, we go out and do something else, then we run back in here. And I think here's the challenge. I think we should have the same moral dilemma that they were having in the movie. Do we have something incredible? Do we have a relationship with the God that created the universe? And if so, how are we letting that help the world rather than hiding it in here? You know, Jesus talked about it a lot. You know, in that scripture we read about the great commandment, he said, go out into all the world. He said, don't just stay where you're at. He said, make sure you're sending it out everywhere. In fact, that's kind of at the end of his life, at the first of his ministry, when he was first with the disciples and he was getting them excited about going out. In Luke chapter 9, it says this, 9:1, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. He said, here's a little bit of my superpowers. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to get out of here. He said, I'm glad you're here, but I want you to go out. And he said, I want you to proclaim this kingdom we're talking about. Do we have that mandate? Do we think about how do we proclaim? How do we share? Listen, I'm excited. I mean, our church this year, we've done some mission work. We've gone out and we have done things in town, out of town, all the way into Mexico. We support ministries all over the place. But we've got to do more. There's a world out there that needs what we have in here. And we've got to be willing to go past the awkwardness and just say, I'm willing to share and to tell people. We can do that by inviting them in here. I mean, that's one way. But I think more than that, we got to take it out. You know, if we are going to invite them in here, we've got these cards out everywhere. We've had them for over a year. We bought just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Listen, we need to get rid of them. I'm tired of seeing these cards around. The only way we can get rid of them, well, I guess there's lots of ways, but the right way to get rid of them is to take them and share them with people. On these cards, it tells about our church, tells about the times. It shows a place where if they want answers to questions, they can look on the web to get answers to some basic questions. August the 19th, we've decided to have a special service here. We're calling it a Family Celebration Sunday. You can see it in your bulletin. But if we don't invite people, if we're not out there saying, hey, there's something going on in here we want to invite you to, then people aren't going to come. But if we get out there and say, hey, let me tell you about this king I serve. Let me tell you about Jesus. You know, and it doesn't even have to be that. It can just be as simple as, hey, I want to invite you to my church. And we can get in here and we can love on them. Or let's look for places. I mean, here's what we see God says. He says, I am the shepherd, you are the sheep. Where I lead, I want you to follow. I am the master, you are the servant. I am the king, you are the citizens. I give commands, and you go. And we need to listen to what God's telling us to do. How do we get out there? How do we share people? That's why we're pushing to move to the new land. Because we know that there's going to be about 1,000 new homes going up in the next few years, just a half a mile from our land. Just a half a mile from that 44 acres over there, they're going to build 1,000 new homes. And what we don't want them to have to wonder where we're at or wonder what we want a building that says, we are a church that loves this community and we're ready for you. And we're going to not just be inside the walls, but we're going to be out and we're going to be telling people and talking to people. You know, there's a story about the Black Panther. The head of Marvel comic books. Do y'all know his name? Stan Lee. He's 90, almost like 95 years old now. So if you ever see Stan Lee in one of those movies, he always has one of those little cameos. I think they're probably just kind of holding him up a little bit, you know, because he is 95 years old. He's created some of the greatest comic book heroes. Iron Man, the Incredible Hulk, he was part of the creation of all those heroes. And they say that in the 60s, when all these heroes were getting big, he said he looked out and he saw every hero that was there in the Marvel comics and the DC comics were all white heroes. And he said, there's a whole part of our nation that are African American, black people, that they don't have a hero in the comic books. And he said, I'm going to write and create a hero for them. And he said, there was just so much pushback. Don't do this. You know, we're going good. You know, you don't have to. And he said, no. He said, I want to make sure that nobody's left out. And he risked, you know, the kingdom of Marvel comic books to say, I'm going to create this hero so that more people can become part of this. And I just think about the great risk he took just for a comic book. Are we taking that risk to tell people about Jesus Christ? We've got something way more important, but sometimes we're not willing to take the risk to get out there and share the kingdom. In the movie, they do this thing. They go, Wakanda forever. I'm not going to ask you to do that. You know, they do it over and over again. And I was just thinking, I said, do we have anything like that? And I looked at the end of the Lord's Prayer, and it says this, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's our call. Will y'all say that with me? Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm so glad I'm part of the kingdom with you. Hey, I want to tell y'all today, we're going to enter into a time of invitation. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of different things. You know, maybe God's just got something on your heart where you haven't let him be king of your life. And today, maybe that's something during invitation you can just pray about. God, you know, do we have a democracy or do we have a kingdom? Maybe you want to make some kind of decision in your life about, from now on, I'm going to treat it like a kingdom. We talked about baptism. Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you've been saved for years and years and go, man, I've always just been nervous about that. We've got our baptistry ready now. Y'all probably didn't even know it was broken. But we've got it ready. It is raring to go. In fact, our plan is we hope to see on that 19th, that family celebration. Wouldn't it be great if we invited our community in here? And when they came in, we got to show them some stories and some people saying, I'm a Christian and I'm going to take a first step into baptism. But to do that, that might mean that some of you here who've never been baptized, maybe God's calling you to say, hey, I want to take that step to say, publicly announce that I'm a Christian, even if it's been 20, 30, 40 years ago, or maybe it was just this summer. I want to challenge you on that. And I also just want to challenge you to go out and to share this week. Grab some cards, talk to some friends. Next week, our movie is I Can Only Imagine. So we go from some crazy Black Panther movie to a movie all about Jesus Christ and the power that he can have in your life. And that's what we're going to share next week. Invite some people to that. As John comes up, we'll go into our time of invitation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to just thank you right now just for just the parables. God, just some the stories in your scriptures that help us learn what your truths are. And God, as we just even look at this simple thing of kingdom, God, I just ask today that maybe some of the scriptures that we've read, some of those themes that you put all through the Bible, God, that'll just convict us. God, that'll move us closer to just proclaiming that you are king to the world. We love you, Jesus. In your name, amen.